أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والتابعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، My dear brother Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Because today we do not have too much time because it's internally scheduled. Some people ask me, how is your trip? To explain to you my trip, I have to explain to you why I went and why in Ramadan I try to do what I'm doing. It's a hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. This hadith changed my life. The hadith when Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu entered Masjid al-Nabawi and he find out a man sitting close to the wall and his face has a calamity. And he said, Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. He said, Wa alaykum salaam wa rahmatullah, Ibn Abbas. He said, what's the matter with you? He said, leave me alone. He said, I swear by Allah, I will not leave you alone until you tell me what's going on. He said, because you are Ibn Abbas and the relationship between you and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you swear by Allah, I have to fulfill your rights as a Muslim. But I tell you the truth, I do not want to talk. But now you push me to talk. I have debts. And I owe money to somebody. And I do not have it. And when Ibn Abbas entered Masjid al-Nabawi, he entered with the intention of 3 days at Kaf. He asked him, who's the one you owe him the money? He said, such and such person. He said, okay. Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. He said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to pay you the money. He said, what about your 3 day i'tikaf? Do you know if you intend 3 day i'tikaf, it become obligation to fulfill it? He said, are you? Did you not hear what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? Whoever walk toward fulfilling a need of a Muslim, Allah reward him with the equivalent of 10 years i'tikaf in my masjid. What are you looking for? You're running after 3 days, I'm running after 10 years. Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. One man in Guyana, he asked me, what do you think about 10 days i'tikaf? What I do? I tell him, if I can tell you about the manner of i'tikaf, I will do. But let me ask you a question. In a situation right now, when the condition of Muslim, which one is higher? Fulfill the need of Muslim, take care about the need of Muslim, educate the Muslim, or I worry about my i'tikaf? Today we do not understand the priority. And if you ask me what I learned from this story, one of the things I learned, it very important, the importance of seeking knowledge, the importance of spreading knowledge. What knowledge? For example, this is the situation in Guyana. Guyana first is a small country, and you have to understand Guyana is three Guyana actually. You have British Guyana, you have Dutch Guyana, and you have the French Guyana. Where I went was a British Guyana, meaning it was under the colonism of the British. The majority of people is black from Africa, part Indian Hindu, and part Muslim. Muslim approximately maybe give and take 10%. The Hindu maybe 10 to 15%. Hindu maybe at least 35 to 45% different location, the rest is Afro-American or black from Africa, rooted wise, and we're talking about the roots, but they lived there for whatever 200-300 years. Villages between each village and another, not even a moment, meaning it's small tiny places, each one called village. And most likely, every village has a masjid. Almost. And you see the condition of the ummah. People are out. What do we learn from that? They have what called the Miji. What is Miji? Supposed to be the Imam or the one who leads Salah. The majority is illiterate. The majority even cannot recite Surah Al-Fatiha properly. And they are Imam for 30 years, 35 years. This is the Imam, the advisor, the teacher of the locality. If this is the condition of the Imam, what do you expect? And they are so stubborn in their own way, they do not let it go. They are not willing to learn nothing. They are not willing to listen from anyone. You add to that the new groups. Without mentioning names, you have two or three major groups. Each group controlling different group messages. From news media, each group doing wonder. From reality, none is happening. Except some of the cat money collect and pay it to the people. And some maybe recitation and some stuff like that. You have the elder who have a lot of bid'ah, a lot of corrupted knowledge, habit and culture mixed, and you have the new young people who strike for nothing. And what it generate? Big gaps. And you have the big Muslim leader who worry about their own politics and who controlling whom. But you do not see them. And you do not see the public, and the public is out. You hardly find somebody ask you a question, really a sincere question. Do you know what I see? Similar when I came in here, I visited a sick person, and for 1 month, even his own family did not visit him. And even the people I announce in the masjid about his sickness and they live nearby, they never visit him. You see? And I talked to another person who did 10-day i'tikaf and he was crying. I said, why are you crying? He said, I want to do i'tikaf and people keep arguing. I cannot be sitting in the masjid and each group taking one side. And people dispute about the food and who going to do that, and in the end, a lot of food will be thrown away. Do you know, I wish not to talk like that, but this is a reality. I have another sister, she cried. She cried to me and tell me, I thank Allah. I learned from you something, because I went some such and such masjid and was so empty. And people talking about all kind of topic, but not Allah. I hear everything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people do routine visit, do routine salah, routine taraweeh. The reality of Islam and Iman is not there. You have another group of people tell you, what about Osama bin Laden? What about Taliban? And I tell them, all of us Taliban, all of us Osama bin Laden. Because we're neglecting the Ummah. People do not understand what's going on. We're running after fulfilling one tiny part of Islam, and the whole Islam is sliding underneath us. A whole generation of Muslims going down. What I can tell you? I received a phone call yesterday. One sister, she started doing dawah with me. And she beat up her sister so severe in the hospital. To the point they have to call the police. Why? The absence. The absence of Islam. Where is the father? He left. Where is the mother? Is so ill. And when I talk to the another sister, the one she get beat up. So severe. And they are not young. 20 and 30 years old. She told me, my mother never put in our heart the love for each other. We always hate each other. We have no communication with each other. Our family is corrupted. Our understanding of Islam is not there. Basic Islam is not there. Like one boy came to me. He's one of the only boy who really asked me a legitimate question. You know what he asked me? He told me, I see people doing like this, and do like this in tashahhud, and do like this, and do like this. What I do? I said, you know something? I want to scream. And you were worried about Taraweeh is 20 or 8. If we do not do Taraweeh, it's not a big deal. It's only Sunnah. But what you're doing, you're neglecting the main fard, which is educating your own woman. And if the woman is not educated, the children is not educated. And our woman actually destroying the ummah. And they putting the seed of loving dunya to the children. And we inheriting our children, our own diseases. Is this right or wrong? And we watching and we worry about a tiny bit of the ritual of Islam. And in the meantime, I said, you know something? People in America, they not have the luxury of food and life only. No, we have the luxury of knowledge. With all these people talking, we have opportunity to listen to people from different angle. These people do not have anybody to talk to them. I have people crying and tell me, please don't leave. We have nobody to talk to. We have nobody to educate us. You have masajid, people do not talk to each other because different group, different understanding. One group, they say, people who make dua after salah is bid'ah. And the another one, they do not want to join them because they are doing bid'ah. Another group, they will not join another group because they make 20 rak'ah. What I can tell you? I tell them, you know something? Very simple. If this our understanding, meaning Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar al-Khattab, he should go to hellfire. Because he did the bid'ah. He did many bid'ah. Yes. The one who did the bid'ah of Taraweeh is Umar radiallahu anhu. And when people ask him, oh yeah, Umar, you make bid'ah? Because he find two groups in the masjid, one making 8, one making 12. He said, Na'mal bid'ahi. This is the best bid'ah to unite between Muslims. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. We do not understand. By this way, if you ask me what I understand, what I gained from the struggle, I gain one thing. We have to go back to Allah. All the basic I'm talking about it, we have to do. Imagine if I have a group of women and I have a session with them. Their English is very basic. Their knowledge is nothing. Their knowledge about life is not there. The knowledge about Islam is almost like not even 1%. What you will talk about? And they're very poor. The majority of them come and collecting zakat. What you give them? Tafsir, hadith, fiqh, and some of them ill, some of them elder. And they're very slow people, very slow. Or you give them something can benefit them. What you give them? Anybody can tell me? What is the best talk you can give them to when they leave, they have something? Do you remember Brother Mahmoud? I talked about this topic before. It's a very simple, but all of us as a ummah is needed. Because once you have it, the rest is going okay. What about Rida? Teach them about Rida and the importance of Rida, contentment. What about teaching them about yaqeen and the importance of yaqeen, have faith in Allah, by this way you can reach the treasure of Allah direct. What about teaching them the importance of dhikr and the difference between the dead heart and life heart is the one who does dhikr and the one who doesn't do. What about teaching them to do da'wah to each other? By this way the quality will come to them. If they have those and they leave, they have everything. They have all the keys. Can I give them a big lecture? Alaykum as-salam. Can I break all kind of topic for them? I can. Now what about here? We have the same thing, but it's hidden. Do you know what it hurt me? What it hurt me is we make believe. I find people make believe. Imagine they hear me and they love to flush me nice and to go. Where's ikhlas? Where's sincerity? Where's sabr? Where's belief in Allah? Imagine if I open your heart and your ear to a topic is very important. And you flush me so nice and you walk and like you never heard anything. Where are we going? Do you know what happened? Meaning we become witness to each other in the Day of Judgment. Because in the Day of Judgment I would say, oh Allah, I tell them. And these are ones they do not follow up. Do you know what it means? Our heart is dead. Or we are a liar. And this is what I said all over. I have all the people involved. You go to masajid, you have very, very rich people. They are the president of the masjid. But the whole masjid have only one bathroom. And the bathroom is stained. And even the faucet is broken. Do you know these people who are running the masjid? If they renovate the masjid and put three bathrooms, it will not make a dent in their income. They're very rich. But it's not, they're very poor. You look for prestige and just a logo, and that's it. I said, if you're sincere to Allah and you're very rich, how come you do not add a faucet? A faucet will not cost you in their own money, $2. How come you cannot add a new bathroom? New bathroom there is nothing, because it is just a bunch of wood and just a hole and a bucket of water. You're not talking about fancy bathroom. Where is sincerity? Where is ikhlas? Where is trustfulness? Where is iman? Where is believing I'm going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I came, and what I saw is scared me. How are we going to end? I saw this woman sick in a hospital. They give her morphine or whatever injection, which it should put you to sleep for 24 hours. And she takes the injection and she's supposed to be like very deep sleep, like in coma, after 5-10 minutes. And you know something? It's not affecting her. And you do not know. Do you know what I discovered? She has a lot of shayateen. She has injections supposed to put her asleep. And she keeps jumping in bed. She cries, she screams, she laughs. She won't kill herself, she won't move. And she has an operation in the brain. Why? And you tell her, say Alhamdulillah, she cannot say it. Say Astaghfirullah al-Azim, she will not say it. And she did Hajj 3 times. What I see? I see the result of all the ritual, but the heart is not clean. The heart is not honest to Allah. The heart has no contentment. The heart has no patience. The heart has no rida. The heart has no yaqeen in Allah. And the price is high, especially the time of death. This is what I see. What about us? We privilege. We privilege. Allah sent us the knowledge. Allah sent us all what we need. But what we're doing about it is almost like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live in a luxury life. But what we doing about it? And this is a question. What we do about what Allah allow us to have. And in the middle of all this crisis around us, what we doing, not what we're saying. We talk a lot. We talk a lot. Is a lot of work has to be done. Even here, we have the same crisis exactly like there. But the only problem in the United States, because massive amount of Muslims, you do not see what's going on. Because everybody running after his own family. And nobody worry about what's going on in his own even locality. How many people sick? How many people has a problem? Do we know what's going on? Do we know if any family has a problem or not in the locality? Do we know if somebody's sick? And why we do not know? Because we make salah and we run. We make salah and we run. We hardly even know each other. We do not know where we live. We hardly have any brotherhood. Unless we have a brotherhood and we really get to know each other and communicate with each other, where are we going? And this is why today we're still in a talking state. Meaning the heart is not ready. If the heart is not ready, meaning the real iman and real yaqeen is not there. Like one of the companions used to say, Allah teach me a habit and I teach him a habit. I taught Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala I love to spend. And he taught me he will give me. And I'm afraid to stop my habit, Allah will stop his habit. Do you understand? He always give. And he discover when he will give, Allah give him. And he discovered, he understand. Because he give, Allah give him. And he said, I'm scared. If I stop the habit of giving, he will stop giving me. Alaykum as-salam. And this actually, the ultimate of Ramadan. The ultimate of Ramadan is we heard Quran. If we heard Quran in Ramadan, meaning now, I should start reflecting upon the Quran I heard. Unless I did exactly like the people I visit. We did the Taraweeh, we did the ritual, and we think I did my 20 rak'ah and go home and do extra nawafil. And waiting for Laylat Qadr and some sweet and that's it. Meaning I do not gain nothing. I will get some sawab, I will get some reward. But the reality of Ramadan will not come in my heart. The reality of Ramadan will not reflect in my body and my habit and custom. Unless I really comprehend what is the wisdom of Taraweeh Lawid. Because Taraweeh Lawid is a whole wisdom about it is to hear Quran and to encourage us to do good deed. This is the outcome of my trip. Is a lot of needy. Not only physical needy or material needy. No. What about the heart needy? Because if the heart is rich, Allah will take care about them. Because the poverty is not in the hand. It's not in the bucket. The poverty in the heart. This is why we're scared. This is why we get shaky with every situation. Because if the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart, we will never be shaken. We'll never worry. A real Muslim do not worry. A real Muslim has no worry. He cannot think about the future. No, because the future in the hand of Allah. Imagine if I do not calculate that, what topic can benefit me? And this is what I gain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from our nafs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from our own shayateen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from our family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from his anger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from his veils. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from darkness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us light and vision, basira, and hikmah, wisdom. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to see the truth and follow it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to see the wrong and get away from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us live with La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, haqqan wa sidqan wa yaqeenan wa da'watan wa tabdighan ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us live as a Muslim, die as a Muslim, enter the grave as a Muslim, resurrected as a Muslim, with his rida and contentment. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Any question or any concern? Allahumma salli alayhi wa sallam. I do not want to take too much of your time, because I know you have a schedule of Salat al-Isha. But believe me, like one brother, he asked me. I tell him, if I'm Imam of a masjid, I will make Taraweeh only 2 rak'ah. Somebody said, Astaghfirullah al-Azim, Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Taraweeh is Sunnah. Gaining knowledge is fard. And if I have an audience, have no knowledge, and this is the only time I can see them, which one is higher? Gives them the knowledge, it can benefit them all year? Or gives them a ritual of 20 rak'ah and you don't even know what's going on? Taraweeh, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed. Anybody know when he prayed? What's that?
At home, the Prophet at home.
It's a qiyam.
Yeah.
No, but the Taraweeh is the way he prayed in the front of us. When he prayed? When he prayed in the front of others?
The middle of the night.
No. In the last year before he died. He never did this before.
Right.
What it mean? How many times he did i'tikaf? He used to do i'tikaf in the last few years of his life. Why? Because in his early life, he's busy with da'wah. Busy with the affair of the Muslim. By this way, we have to judge our action according to the time and set priority according to the need of the ummah, not my need. Imagine I'm sitting in the masjid making atikaf, reciting Quran, doing dhikr, getting closer to Allah, get Laylatul Qadr, and the whole ummah go to hellfire. Imagine, which one is higher? Or I do two rak'ah only at night, and I'm trying to let another people make another two rak'ah. We do not understand Islam. Islam is not belong to us. Islam is a trust. Allah give it to us, and we have to spread it. We have to work for it. We have to do the maximum, not the minimum. Today we do not even do the minimum. We didn't start yet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and give us basira, inshaAllah. Assalamu alaikum.